One of them's this long, and the other one's just, you know, a couple of the lines here. Let's go to 1 Timothy. We'll go with that one. This one's a short one. Of course, every time I say that, my wife cringes because she knows in the past I am a liar. Sometimes I say it's short. I don't know how long it's going to be, and it winds up being 45 minutes or so. I remember my first devotion, they said, I should probably, now that he, I didn't know somebody was up there until he got up there, I should probably put this on. But I remember my first devotion, they told me to make it last, you know, 5-10 minutes. So I had 5 pages, single line, handwritten out, and it probably lasted about a minute, 30 seconds maybe. You know, I ran through it, and everybody's looking up like, is that it? Yeah, that's it. And so we prayed, and we dismissed, but it's like, wow, I'm a little long-winded now. The older I get, that happens. I don't know. All right, so 1 Timothy, okay? We'll get to prayer on this. It is about prayer, but it's the setting up of things here. This is, everybody knows that this is Paul's letter to Timothy, okay? Or if you don't know that, you know that now. Paul's letter to Timothy. Writing him about things that must not be left undone in church, okay? In his Christian life, in the gospel, in the church, as a pastor, okay? And people say, well, what's that got to do with me? I have heard people discount 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Well, that's done written to pastors. No, no, it's written to everybody. Because essentially, we're all pastors to other people. Okay? Ministers. In our families, you know, as the head of the family, you are a pastor to your family. Okay? You are a pastor to the people that you associate with, people at work. You are a pastor, a leader, okay, an encourager, a teacher to the people that you're around. Okay, so by inference, it's for every one of us. Okay, for every one of us. He starts out, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for this day. Father, I pray, thank you for our time here together. Father, I pray, Lord, you get the glory from this message, from this devotion. Father, I pray you help turn our hearts to you, and that, Father, that you would help us to see the things that are in here and use them in our life, to embrace them, Father, and give you the glory throughout. For Christ's name I pray, and amen, amen. Paul sets up a couple of things here that you thought maybe to Timothy, whom he considered a son, that to Timothy might not, that maybe not should have been set down again, okay? It's one of those things that I would have thought that in the beginning here, Paul's relationship and Timothy's relationship would have been set. Timothy would know who Paul is. Paul would know who Timothy is, right? But you see there in verse 1, Paul states that I am an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior, not men. He answered that before also in the book of Corinthians and other places where people questioned, well, is Paul really an apostle? Well, yes, he is. He's an apostle called by God, directly, chosen out, okay? Just like the other 11. When Jesus was out wandering around in the Palestinian area there, it's like, you know, I want you, John. I want you, Peter. Oh, I want you over there. I want you. He called up the 12. Even Judas Iscariot. He called them out himself. He called Paul out. We have the testimony there in the book of Acts, where Jesus came to Paul, who then was Saul, on the road to Tarsus. On the road to Tarsus. No, Damascus. I get those two confused. Damascus, Tarsus. They're nowhere near each other, but anyway. On the road to Damascus. And Paul said, who art thou, Jesus? Who art thou, Lord? And it's like, yeah. And he called him and says, come on, I got something for you to do. Go to the city of Joppa and wait for a guy named Peter. Okay? And he did, and we know the rest of the story. We can read the rest of the story. But called out by Jesus himself. So Paul takes this opportunity again to Timothy, his son in the faith, to show him what his authority is. I'm an apostle. You know? And I'm thinking he also wants to do this. And he says, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And I think Paul knew other people would read this. But also, too, I think Paul, in a relationship, sometimes we get a little too casual, don't we? Okay. I've seen people be too casual pastors. Call them by their first name, you know, give them all kinds of nicknames. You know, when they preach a message, they don't treat the message seriously because it's coming from, oh, that's just old brother so-and-so. It's like, you know, they're not given the credit due. They're not given the authority they're given. Oh, that's just old brother so-and-so. Well, wait a minute. This is the pastor of the church. I don't care if he's your best friend. He's the pastor of the church ministering to your soul. Okay? This casual relationship and casual regard for this person has got to stop. So even with Timothy, his own son, in the faith, he says, I'm an apostle, and I got something to tell you. So it's best you listen. Sometimes we did that. You ever do it with your kids? Hey, I am your dad. You listen to me. Okay? I said, my wife said, I'm your mom. You listen to me. Okay? Haven't you had sometimes to reassert your relationship with your children? You know, even when they're older now, it's like my son is old. He's over 40. And it's like, how did he get to be that old? But there's sometimes I still got to, you know, sometimes reassert my authority. I'm still your dad. You know, yeah, we can kid around, we can joke, we can talk about all kinds of things, but I'm still your father. Okay? I'm still somebody you need to respect. Unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. An introduction. Timothy, my son, I give you this. I greet you with grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a great way to start out a letter. Okay? You know, the reestablishing of a relationship, the reasserting of a proper relationship. And that's one thing in churches sometimes we do with each other is that we do not have proper relationships with each other. Sometimes we're just too casual. Sometimes we don't show the respect to others that we need to show. Okay. And then he goes on, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, and minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. And he sets this up here. This is why I left you where you're at, Timothy, that you can straighten some things out. Okay? But not only as Timothy, the preacher, because we all know later on he says, let no man despise his youth. He's a young man, right? I don't know. The older I get, sometimes I look at young guys and I say, who do you think you are? It's like, man, you look down at them. And it's like, you know, I shouldn't do that. I should take them as they are, take them for the knowledge that they have, take them for experience that they have. I'm one of the older drivers there at work, and there are guys half my age who have been driving longer. Okay? I got to show them respect because they're the senior driver. Yes, I'm senior in age, but they've been driving a lot longer than I have. Some of them have been there 25 years. Yeah, they're still younger than me. And it's like, you know, these guys are senior drivers. What they say, I should listen. Okay? My supervisor, he's a man in his 40 to 50. He's got more gray hair than I do, by the way. I should give... He's my junior. I still need to give him respect for his position. Okay. Respect, because that's the way our relationship is. Supervisor first and friend second. Okay. On the job, if he says something, I need to say yes, sir. If he has a suggestion, I need to listen. If he has something I need to do, I do it. Okay. That's the way he needs to be on the job, out of respect. Even though these guys are younger than me, and it's like, you know, I got more experience in life than you do, and who are you to tell me stuff? They do. They got more experience and on-the-job authority. So he says, I left you there, Timothy, to do things, to set these things in order, to set another doctrine, to get things right, to rebuke people. Okay. I'm assigning you as an apostle, okay? And even though you are my son, this is my assignment to you as the pastor of that church, as the preacher, as a teacher, okay? That you do these things, okay? That you set the, you have the authority to set these things up, that you have the authority to do some things, okay? So that's why the first thing needed to be set as far as relationship, Paul's authority and a relationship, so that that way, when people in the church that Timothy is at turn around and disrespect him for his youth, he can say, look, this is Paul's letter. He's telling me I need to do this stuff. But he says, Paul says, you need to do this with faith unfeigned, unfaked faith. Okay. Not like, you know, a novice, which we're told to beware of when for people who are going to be elders in the church, not a novice who has no experience in the word, has no experience in the thing. Like I've seen, we used to belong to a church that supported a CMBI, California Missionary Baptist Institute. How's that for a name? California Missionary Baptist Institute. And we used to get young people in there saved 2-3 months, and they said, oh, I'm going to be called to be a preacher. Okay. After about a year or two, they think they know what they're talking about. No, they're still untried, untested, a novice. Okay. The Bible tells us to beware of novices and to teach them further things. You know, has the older Cupper taught Apollos further the things of God? Okay, he was running around preaching half-truth. But this is what you do, okay? You charge them that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables, but do this so that rather they would give godly edification, and that the reason is so that way the love of God would be spread more abroad, okay? Teachers got to be aware of this, because sometimes we as teachers, we study for a lesson, we think we have it nailed down, and somebody asks us a question, and we just go to, huh? We have a tendency to think ourselves something more, but it's about love. It's not because I'm a teacher or apostle or whatever, and I'm in charge, and this is what I got to do. It's all done out of love. It's all done out of an unfeigned love. And he's talking about the people that have swerved from aside, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Verse 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, and if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for righteous men, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy, profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves of mankind, or men sealers, for liars, perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, okay? The law, Paul tells them, he reaffirms, is not for saved people. It's for lost. It's for ungodly people, okay? Remember, what was the purpose of Christ, or of the law? It was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, okay? It was that teacher that would go out and find, you know, schoolmaster did this in their day, went out and looked for kids who were being delinquent. They were just hanging around on the corner smoking and doing all kinds of stuff. I go downtown, man, I see these adolescents, and I see these young teenagers. Man, They need somebody to get them off the street and go teach them something. That's what the schoolmaster did. He went in, he found these guys, grabbed them by the ear. That hurts. My mom did that once to me in a store when she found me goofing off, grabbed me by the ear, and holy moly, that hurts. I think that's why my ears are stretched out. But yeah, dragged me in, brought me to some correction. The schoolmaster went out, looked for us, brought us to Christ. Whether we got saved or not was dependent on us. But the schoolmaster did his job. Okay? And that's what the schoolmaster does for the lost, for all the sinners that he mentioned there. Okay? Reminding Timothy, this is what it's for. Remind them, the people that pretend that they're teachers of the law, that this is what the law was for. Not just to assert authority, you do this, you do that. You know, like the scribes and Pharisees, they would lay heavy burdens on peoples, and yet Jesus said they don't even lift a finger toward it themselves. You know, they carry great weight in tithe of mint and everything else, you know, of all the little stuff, but nothing about the serious stuff. Nothing about the weightier matters of the law. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust. Okay, as Paul taught the gospel of Christ to Timothy, Timothy is to teach it to others. Okay, because it was committed to Paul to do that. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, that for he counteth me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. He says this in here to show them, reassert to Timothy, remind him, this was my life before. I was one of those guys. You know, even though I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, according to the law, I was blameless. Nobody could point a finger and accuse me of anything. Basically, to the world, I was sinless. And yet he says, man, I am the chiefest of sinners. Okay. As an example to those that come after, that you can be saved too. You know, no matter what you did in your life, that list or Paul's list, you can be saved by the grace of God. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, and only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And he says that because he was saved. It's my hope that we can all say that. That we, at times in our life, every morning perhaps, get up, know who God is, to the King eternal, to the immortal God. Amen. Be honor and glory, Father, to you and to you only, because you saved my soul. Who I was ungodly, I was not worth saving, I was an enemy of God. Okay? But you saved me, and now I give you glory. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou might by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, of whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Okay. And Paul says all that to tell Timothy, all these things are what you need to teach, in love, in faith, that the glory of God may be shown to everybody, to lost people, to save people. Okay. And this is the first thing he tells them, this is what you teach right here. Okay. A lot of people don't think that. We need to, you know, teach them other stuff. Okay. I'm getting more and more of the opinion that, you know, yeah, the ABCs of Christian growth, that's great and everything, but you need to teach them faith in God first. Otherwise, how are they going to trust the words? You need to teach them belief in what God says is the truth. Otherwise, how are they going to believe the words? anything else that you teach them. Okay? And this is what you teach them. I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. I was probably saved 2 years, 3 years, 2 years maybe, before I had the first solid lesson on prayer. Okay. After I was saved, everybody said, well, pray to God. Okay, you know, okay, I'll pray to God. What am I supposed to say? Well, go to the disciples' prayer. Pray like that. Okay, I'll do it. I had a lot of enthusiasm without brain. Okay. Without substance. This, the prayer, gives substance first. And then you can build knowledge. Then you can build faith. Then you can build the basis for going forth and sharing. Because how can you share somebody the gospel unless you're not praying? How can you share with somebody the gospel unless you're praying about it? Or unless through prayer you have a personal knowledge and a personal relationship with God? It can be done. How do we know this? For the angels of the devil are turned into ministers of light, are they not? That's what the Bible tells us. The devil himself has looked on as something, oh, he's beautiful. He's great. That's his Old Testament. Look what, he's just beautiful. He's got the music of the ages. Oh, my goodness. It's a tree to be desired. Okay, it's something to be desired and to be longed for. Wow, and this is just the fulfillment of my life. Okay. I say all these words, and you guys know they're just empty words, correct? But that's how some people look at it, without prayer first. Okay? Without this understanding that I need to pray to God for, if I'm going to open my mouth, that somebody's going to hear it. The Holy Spirit is heard and not me. Okay? I exhort, first of all, supplications, prayers. Supplications is a begging. Prayers is saying this begging. Okay, is saying it out loud. Sometimes prayers are just done inside with the inward voice, but prayers need to be made aloud so you can hear you saying this stuff. So you can verify that with your own words in your mouth that you're saying this stuff. Intercessions. Intercessions mean you stand in between somebody. Okay. God, I see this person's going through a time, and I stand in between so that way, Lord, I'm praying for this person. That this person, that you would touch their body, that you would touch their mind, you'd bring them to you for whatever purpose. Okay. That through whatever's going on, that you may get the glory. And you stand there in between them, with prayer, prayers with love, supplication, begging, prayers that are done out loud. Okay. Intercessions, the giving of thanks be made for all men. You know, all these prayers are for everybody. Giving of thanks is for everything. Giving of thanks for all men. Pastor has this, who's the guy that was his thorn in the flesh, he thought, when he was younger? Pastor Anger, I'm sorry, not Pastor Glenn. Yeah, his Mario. Mario was his thorn in the flesh on the ship, and it's like, you know, nothing God can be, anyway. Prayer for Mario. Prayer for an enemy. Prayer for somebody that you may not even like. Because beyond that, you're supposed to love them first. That's what prayer does. My wife and I both have this testimony. She said it to me and I said it to her, that when we started learning about prayer in depth, we started praying for people that weren't quite close friends with us, you know? You kind of just, they're at a distance. Your close friends are here. I wasn't one of those that says, you know, you hold your friends close and your enemies closer. No, my enemies were always out here. I'm being honest. I can only be honest, you know? Should I say it? I'm being honest. And so, learn this idea of intercessory prayer, pray for your enemies. Yeah, I had to back up from that and said, really? I pray for my enemies? Now, I have prayed for people that I was odds with in churches, in the church, that the Lord would be between he and me, and that would change my attitude if it stunk, or change their attitude, you know, but that there'd be fellowship and unity. But to pray for your enemy, that was tough. But you know, you start praying for your enemy. You know, the first couple of times you're going to pray for your enemy, you may not mean it. But the more you pray for an enemy, the more you mean it. And things change. Pretty soon you start having an affinity. You start having an affection for that person. You start having a heart for that person. One of those things that it happens, but it starts with prayer. That all this prayer, supplications, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority. Oh man, I know that there's a lot of people these days have a problem praying for the president. I pray for the president that he gets saved first off, and that as the Bible says that the heart of the kings is in God's hand, that God moves on the king's heart to do his will, not what I want, but to do his will. That's tough. And he says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. How can you argue with that? It's good and acceptable. Not because I say it is, not because the pastor says it is, not because some preacher comes in, you know, blows in, blows up, and blows out, not because he says it is, not because, you know, we read it in a book for Christian living, you know, how to be successful, blah, blah, blah. It's because God says it. Whoa. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. That's what Timothy was supposed to get, to teach first. Prayer for all these people. You may not like the president, you may not like Democrats or liberals, but you got to pray for them. Got to pray that they be saved. You may have an enemy at church, somebody you're not real friends with, you got to pray for them. Verse 4, after that, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Yeah, he wants that person, if they're lost, to be saved. That's good and acceptable in the sight of God. God who saved us. God who saved me. Praying for all these people. So tonight when we pray, okay, we got a new prayer list back there, by the way. We got a bunch of people on our list. Some people I don't know. Some people I do. Doesn't matter if I know them or not. Pray for them. Because they have a situation that needs to be brought before God. Okay. If you do know them, then you can add that personal touch to it. But the prayer for people, and this is where people say, well, why do we need to come to prayer meeting at church? Because praying, this is where we share our burdens. This is where we share our prayer requests. This is where we share things to others. It may be in the form of, hey, I have an unspoken request. But this is where we do share. And that all of us share that burden equally.
I like that idea. I got some burdens happening. Okay? May not be burdens to you, but they're burdens to me. I like the idea, hey, pray for me. And I know I got people praying. Kind of lifts the load, doesn't it? People are praying for me. Last year, when I was in the hospital for so many weeks, wasn't sure if I'd ever walk again. Okay, my wife says, oh, you get a little melodramatic. Well, you know, ever since then, everybody tells me about people that they know who had a bone infection, who got it scraped, and they weren't able to walk or something. It's like, oh, my goodness. That could have been me. And it's like, I am glad people of this church are praying. I am glad other people were praying. You know, it made that burden a lot easier to handle. So as we pray, remember that. Keep them in prayer. That when we bring a prayer request, it's for the fact that it's a burden I can't bear by myself. And I need to share it. And hopefully, others will share too, that intercessory prayer. Because it says, praying for others is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And with that, let's go ahead and I'm going to say a quick prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you and your Holy Spirit, Father, would use this and touch our hearts and our minds, Father, in the core of our spirit, Lord, and that we would understand the importance of the prayers, Lord, that we offer up, the importance to pray, the need to pray, Father, Lord, that this church would understand, and Father, we give you glory through it. Father, I pray you be with us now, that you hear our prayer, give it attendance to it. Father, I pray you help us to pray correctly and rightly, Father, not in our own lusts. Father, I pray also, Lord, that you would just hear from heaven and answer, Lord, because we trust that you're the only one that can. For Christ's name we pray. Amen.